from the book of Genesis and also the Acts of the Apostles.
That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability.
Blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the
Now there will be devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of.
Upon me.
Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, O Father, thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. May the outpouring continue. Clothe us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. We gathered here and wherever your children gather throughout the whole earth, continue to pour out your Spirit upon all humankind. For the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I mentioned yesterday that it's hard to talk about anything multicultural in kingdom parlance without considering both the story of the Tower at Babel and this day of Pentecost that we've just heard recounted. And yes, Babel has some negative connotations. It was the jumble. It was a confusion. It was a confounding. But it also was a passage through a gate of God. In the confusing of languages, God basically began to divide and subdivide us into sets, language groups, people groups, tribes, nations. He gave us a basic toolbox to begin to go deep with a certain group of people, the people of our race and language, rather than developing as a monolithic, homogeneous whole. And by doing that, God really graciously gave us an on-ramp, one of the ways that we could begin to have close communion, intimate communion with one another, with a group of people, the same way that has been enjoyed by the eternal triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in that diversity, in the unity, in that unity, in that diversity for all eternity. The confusion of languages at the tower, in many ways, was a passage through a gate of God. And it took that act to set the stage for the miracle of Pentecost. Now, let's think about Pentecost for a minute. If we could rewind the tape and be back there on that day, on that morning. This huge rushing wind begins to take place. Now, what would have gone through your mind? How many have ever been in a fierce rushing wind? Okay, it's unnerving, isn't it? And I wonder if my response that morning would have been fear, take shelter. I wonder if the readings out of the lectionary in the synagogue recently had covered the story of Elijah in that cave at Horeb. I wonder if my mind would have gone there. I like to think that it might have, connecting the dots. And you know, interestingly enough, where that wind happened at Horeb with Elijah, that was also the place where Moses encountered the burning bush. Now, do some dots begin to connect for us here? This burning bush, it's a bush that's on fire but not consumed, and tongues of fire that are going to rest on each one of these people but not torch them, not scorch them. Some dots begin to connect. But if that rushing wind had reminded me of Elijah at Horeb, I would have then next, I think, perhaps been looking for an earthquake? I don't know. Then the fire comes. And I wonder, I can't help but wonder if the reference here to the languages, when the languages begin, people begin speaking in languages they didn't grow up learning, and what began at the Tower of Babel becomes completed in that which was used to divide us then becomes the tool to unite us. And I wonder if that's the equivalent of Elijah's earthquake. That's pretty earth-shaking news. Several have mentioned the term ruinous to me this week. Some of you are enough old-timers that you were here one summer session. We were just on the heels of Pentecost, and I was looking for something to say about Pentecost and chapel. And I got thinking about fire and earthquake and ferocious wind, and I got thinking, you know, when these things happen, when that kind of cataclysmic stuff happens, there's a lot of aftermath. I mean, if you've ever watched on the news when there's been a tornado or a hurricane, you know, just the wreckage and the cleanup, the aftermath is unbelievable. One thing I really love was chatting with Gary McCoy about relief efforts in the Southern Baptist world. And I see this in so many parts of the church. A friend of mine, Wesleyan pastor, the other day posted on his Facebook page, whenever there's a disaster, guess who's the first to show up to help and the last to leave? It's not the federal government. It's the body of Christ. But there's this massive amount of aftermath. And I looked up the word aftermath in a dictionary. I love words. And the word aftermath is really interesting to me because it's an unusual construct. And the word math seemed to come from an ancient root of like raising, R-A-Z-I-N-G, of crops, cutting them off, like the harvest of something. And then the aftermath is coming in after the raising, after the cutting, come in and you batch them and store those crops, store that harvest and so forth. And you know, there had to be some aftermath after Pentecost, but it said it's like what we use in this little etymological entry, it said, when we talk about the term aftermath, it said it's usually talking about a hurricane, an earthquake, some storm, or some other ruinous event. And I got thinking, boy, Pentecost was a ruinous event. There was one moment before which the Spirit had not been poured out on all flesh. And those timid, fearful, disappointed, saddened believers were not filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the wind began to blow. The tongues of fire came down. And the languages began, and they were ruined forever. You just can't go back after an infilling like that happens. We've talked about through the years how encountering Bob Weber's understanding of worship renewal ruins you for anything else. It just ruins you. You just can't go back to something that is not being renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's listen for that deeper note in God. God's heart sound. It's the sound of myriad voices of every people, tribe, and tongue. May God's one grand multicultural mission do a ruinous thing in us by the power of His Holy Spirit. And to the glory of our Lord Jesus.